How y'all brothers and sisters doing this morning? Come on now, I know y'all woke up. You know y'all done ate good, y'all done drank coffee, y'all done gotta be woke. I know y'all gotta be woke. Huh? You blessed?
Bless the unbelief.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. I'm glad to be here with you guys again this week. I figured we won't prolong the time. I'll, you know, start a minute or two early because, you know, sometimes I get a little bit long-winded. Well, you know, there's not... Ain't that the truth? That's not what I was going to say, but that's the truth. But what I was going to say was, that's not a day that goes by where we don't hear... someone who didn't fell into the temptation trap. How many of y'all know anything about the temptation trap? I'm sure some of us could relate to that. You know, each week there's a list of moral and ethical failures that happen all around the nation, all around the world. And I come to tell you today to don't be deceived. From our communities to our churches and our workplaces and everywhere in between, there's a never-ending minefield of temptation traps. Once again, I'm going to tell you to don't be deceived. We got to watch our minds, watch our thoughts, watch our eyes. We got to watch our ears. We got to watch our teaching. We got to watch our teachers. We got to watch our attitude. We got to watch our walk. In other words, we got to watch our way of life, our lifestyle. We got to watch people, places, things. We even got to watch our family. Sometimes we got to watch our family more than we got to watch our foes.
Amen.
Don't nobody know what I'm talking about, huh?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to keep on moving in. I can't stress it to you enough, my brothers. We must not be deceived. Give you a little illustration here. Let's say my wife and I are married. We are, I don't know, at Walmart, the grocery store, Aldi's, or wherever we may be. And a fine young woman, shapely, with short skirt on, with curves. She walked past, she strolled right on back. What do I do? Being a simple man, my eyes stroll right along with her. But my wife, she's looking at something and she didn't even have to look up. She kept on looking at what she was looking at, doing what she was doing. She turned around and she'll say something like, "Is it worth the trouble that you're in?" I was deceived. I was tricked. I was bamboozled, hoodwinked, all that good stuff. And the key here is, it's not that I was deceived by that woman or tricked by that woman. It wasn't her fault that God made her voluptuous or God made her look good. I was deceived by my own selfish, sinful, lustful desires. I deceived myself. I tricked myself. In order to know what temptation is, we have to, well, let me put it like this. In order to resist temptation, we have to know what temptation is, right? I mean, you can't do something, or if you don't know what you're dealing with, or you know, you can't fix it. You can't fix the problem if you don't know what the problem is, right? So what I'm trying to say is, we want to look at today exactly what causes that temptation and what temptation is. And what we want to look at that is, we want to go into the book of James. Everybody got their Bibles?
Amen.
Amen. Ah, come on now. What's wrong with y'all this morning? Everybody got their Bible, say amen.
Amen.
That means we in agreement with one another, right? We on the same page. We on one accord. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, so turn to the first chapter of the Epistle of James. And while with you guys are turning to the New Testament, I'm going to bow my head. If you're there, bow with me, and we're going to pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for yet another day. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning and clothing us in our right mind. Thank you, Lord, for putting food upon our table. Thank you, Lord, for putting clothes on our back. Thank you, Lord, that last night when we slumbered and we slept, that the four corners of that room was not the four corners of a cold and chilly grave. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us yet another day to call on you. Thank you for all these things, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyhow. Father, I come to you this morning with a prayer asking that you let your Holy Spirit fall fresh among this place. Father, I ask that you would touch every heart, mind, body, and soul up under the sound of my voice. I ask that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive a word from you. I ask, Lord, that if there's anything that's not like you that's inside of us on this morning, you remove it.
Yes.
Father, I ask that you let the words out of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight this morning. Father, I ask that I would decrease and you would increase. Use me as your vessel this morning, Lord. These and all things I ask in your Son Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So, Book of James. Everybody there, right?
Yes,
sir. Epistle of James. Let me help you.
Don't worry about it. I'll help you with it. It's in the New Testament here.
Yeah.
Close to the end here. After Ephesians.
It's going to be in this first chapter of James there. Okay, first of all, y'all know how I... Anybody there? I'd like to give y'all a little background. But before I do that, I want to read three verses that we're going to focus on. That's verse number... We're going to start at verse number 13. Verse number 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I have been tempted by God. But God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one."
Mm-hmm.
Key verse here. "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Those are the three verses that we want to focus on for sake of time. But before we do that, I just want to give you a little bit of background here. That was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, four different Jameses in the New Testament. We had James the son of Zebedee. We had this particular James. We had two other James. This particular James is Jesus' brother. This is the Lord's brother. What we would call him, his half brother. I mean, we know that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So we would say that this James is Jesus' half brother. And just like the rest of Jesus' brothers, they really didn't believe that he was the Messiah. You know, they didn't believe that until James didn't believe until the crucifix at the cross. That's when he began to believe that. Now, James was a very important figure at the beginning of Christianity. Like I said, he was Jesus' brother for one, but he was one of the pastors, one of the leaders at the Jerusalem church. And theologians have researched this, and they have said that James was right around one of the first New Testament books written to the church. And the reason why James wrote this book is, I don't know if you guys have read the book of Acts, but if you have, the church was being persecuted at this time. Okay? You had the 12 tribes. When I say persecuted, you know, they was being sought after to be killed. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, you know, was Saul, and while he was Saul, what he was doing, he was killing Christians. And right after the time that Stephen had gotten stoned to death and killed, the church began to run for their life. And as they began to run for their life, you know, going to all these different places, James felt the need to write them where they were. And the reason why he wanted to write them is because he wanted, number one, to encourage them. If we look in the first part of James here, starting at that second verse, he was telling them to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So, I mean, they was going through some trials, okay? That, you know, people was trying to kill them. You know, they really couldn't speak openly about Christianity like they wanted to. And if we go back and read some of this here, what I'm telling you. Now, what I want you to see here is God don't tempt nobody. Okay? You got tests, and you got tempts. You got trials, and you got temptations. God will put you through a trial. And James is writing them to encourage them, okay, you're going through these trials, you know, count it all joy, because going through this trial is putting you in the refiner's fire. It is making you out to the person that I want you to be. Some of you guys, I mean, you guys are here, you might be going through something. The fact that you're here may be your trial. We call that today, we would say, God's sanctification period. You know, he's got you on the potter's wheel. You know, you understand what I'm saying? He's making you what he wants you to be. But in the midst of your trial, temptation may come. Okay? That's not God. God may allow it, but he's not doing it. Temptation comes from Satan or ourselves. So we're on the same page so far, right? Okay, now, so we're going to dig right into what James tells us here, how he explains what temptation is. First verse, it reads, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Now, the first thing we want to look at here, whether we are Christians or whether we're not, we like to play what we call the blame game. We like to point the finger. What do I mean by that? We don't want to man up or woman up when we did something or made a mistake. Oftentimes we know that it wasn't us. We wasn't supposed to do it, but we won't man up about it. I'll give you a prime example. Let's look at Adam and Eve. All of our mother and all of our father. Way back in the book of Genesis, for the sake of time, we don't have we can't go there to read it, but write it down. Don't take what I'm saying. You know, everything I tell you, write it down. In Genesis, the third chapter, we find in the garden, after God who created everything, he told Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree in the midst of the garden, you know, you're forbidden to do that, don't do it. What happened? We find Satan coming to him in the form of a snake. And the Bible says that Satan, he was crafty. What's crafty? He was slick and devious, you know. He was slicker than he was slicker than a gas station mop, you know, so to speak. You know, he was slick. He was conniving. So when Satan comes, he comes to the woman. And when he comes to the woman, what did he do? God told you don't eat from this tree. You won't die if you eat from this tree. God know that. You know, your eyes gonna be open. You're gonna know, you're gonna be like a god. So what did Eve do? Now, Eve got it in her mind about this tree. She's looking at this tree, first of all. And now, as she's looking at this tree, what's happening? Things are beginning to run through her head. Well, that tree looked pretty good. The fruit looked pretty tasty. They don't look like they rotten or something wrong with them. I think I might want to, you know, indulge in a little bit of that fruit. They say that it was an apple. We don't know. Bible tells me fruit.
That's what it says.
So let's just hypothetically say it was an apple.
Why?
Maybe it could have been a watermelon, but I don't know. I ain't never seen watermelon grow on trees, though.
But it's something that kept them. I mean, an apple is just curious as to, you know, the color. But something that tempted and make you want to taste it.
Exactly.
And the juice for it.
That might have been a pear for some folk.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been a plum for other folk.
Yeah.
But whatever it was some type of fruit. So Eve decides, well, we talked about making decisions last week. But she decides, after all this stuff infested up in her, and she had convinced herself that, you know, I think I'm going to eat me some of this fruit. So she goes and she grabs, she ate. And when she ate, her eyes was open. She gave to her husband Adam.
Come on.
And he ate.
Come on.
Now, I said we oftentimes want to point the finger or play the blame game, right? Eve, she began to blame the devil. But what I want to really look at is verse 12 in that Genesis. Now, what happened after they ate and all that, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, they sold feet, you know, made loincloths or made themselves some clothes and to make it plain because their eyes was open. And then in the cool of the day, God, he come walking, he started calling Adam. Adam, hey, what? Adam, where you at? Adam, Adam. Adam, he comes out, and what Adam do? He, you know, like we do, well, you know, I was scared. Well, I ain't want to come out because, you know, I was naked, and I ain't want you to see me naked. No. What God say? He say, well, who told you you was naked? And he told on himself. That's by saying I'm naked. He told on himself already. That's how we do. We tell on ourselves, you know, when we do something. So, God said, who told you was naked?
Come on.
Did you eat from the tree in the midst of the garden that I told you not to eat from?
That's right. Come on. Mm-hmm.
So, what do the man do? What do Adam do? Verse 12 says, the man said, the woman.
Come on.
The woman. Now he manned up not once. He, right off the bat, I just out of nature, the woman made me do it. And, you know, that woman didn't make me look at her in the mall because she looked good. But that's the first thing that came out of my mouth. You know what I mean? She had no business wearing that in the first place. Am I right or am I wrong? Regardless of what the woman did, it don't make me do nothing that I, you know, do or not do. Y'all follow me? So he said, the woman, now the part that really gets me is, I can just see God now looking at her when he said that, but that's for another sermon. The part that gets me is the very next point. He even had the audacity to blame God.
There it is.
Because what did he say?
The woman you gave.
That you gave.
The woman that you gave me.
This is your fault.
You got to be kidding me.
This is your fault.
You got to be more careful. What? That's a man.
This is your fault.
With some business. I mean, come on now. You talking to somebody who done made you out of dirt. Huh? And gave you all the dominion over everything. And gave you a woman to be with you, to help you, and you blame that same being. That's some serious stuff right there. I mean, I'm talking about if I was God, thank God I ain't God. That's all I'm going to say. You know, I mean, come on. Now, he had the audacity to blame God. He said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. So the man, he want to blame the woman, and then he want to blame God. How many of us are like that? I mean, let's be for real. Let's keep it real. I mean, I know there's more than me and that brother there. You know, how many times, I don't know how many of y'all are married, but if you ain't married, you probably got a significant other. We go out and we do what we do. We come home. It's your fault. You ain't even had no business saying. If you wouldn't have said what you said, I wouldn't have responded how I responded.
Uh-oh. All I wanted to ask was, Tim, how do you get your children to do something?
I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not to do it.
You tell them not to do it.
Don't eat from the tree.
Don't eat.
Don't do it.
That's what God told them, don't do it. But he wants, like I say, they wanted to play the blame game. And that is what we oftentimes do. You know, brother, we got to stop being deceived. You know, if you're a man, man up. If you're a woman, man up. Own up to your mess. Ain't nobody made you do nothing. You know, how many of y'all, I don't know, y'all remember the movie New Jack City?
Come on with it.
In my carnal time, you know, I used to watch stuff like that because, you know, that's the way I lived. That was my lifestyle. You know, I was most Adams and Cicero, and that was my life. That was the oldest thing that I done. Now, in the movie New Jack City, we had
Nino.
We had Ice Cube. That was the other guy.
That Mario Van Peebles.
Ice-T. Now, but the one person I want to talk about,
Gino.
I know, is Pookie.
Pookie was
Pookie.
Yeah.
Remember Pookie?
He was the crackhead.
Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
I can relate to that too.
He backslid.
Now, the part about Pookie that intrigues me now is Pookie, he tried to turn his life around. But right before, if I'm getting the movie exactly right before he tried to turn his life around, Ice-T had caught him when he had did something he had no business doing. He stole something. But Ice-T caught him, and Ice-T had compassion on him, right? And what Pookie do? Ice-T asked him, he said, you know, he couldn't understand, you know, why he was smoking rocks. Why he was, you know, freebasing. They called it in the movie, but we say smoking rocks. Because that's what it really is, smoking rocks.
He called.
That's what he did. Pookie, he said,
I don't know why I've been doing it, man. It's just be calling me, man. It's just be calling me, man.
And that's how it is with us. That's exactly how it is with us. You know, whether it's a drug, a woman, or whatever that wrongdoing may be, I can see us right now saying, it's just be calling me, man. It's just be calling me, man. No, we ain't no bunch of poogies up in here. You know, we got to stop being poogies and stop deceiving ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to move along. Oh, Lord, we're going to move along because time is just passing us by. Now, verse 14. But when each person is tempted, But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire.
Come on.
So James is telling us that our own selfish desires, our own thoughts, entice us. If they lure us to do something we know that we shouldn't be doing. Take a pencil, write down Jeremiah 17:9. Just or make a mental note. The prophet Jeremiah tells us, y'all probably heard my pastor say this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Mm-hmm. Who can understand it? What does that mean? That means everything in your heart from birth is garbage. It's garbage. And any good thing that's in you, God has to put it there. Every time we try to do something, whether or not we got good intentions or not, how many times did you try to do something with good intentions and oftentimes it came off the wrong way? That's because we got a wicked heart. And we got a heart of stone that's desperately wicked. It's sick. We sick folk. You know, I give you an example. I mean, it's the truth. We sick. We need help, man. We in bad shape. And let me put it to you like this. Let me give you a little bit of example of that, of deceiving and rationalizing ourselves because of what's in our heart already. How many of us, when we do something we ain't got no business, we say, everybody doing it.
Everybody else doing it.
Everybody doing it. Or what about, ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody perfect but God.
I'm human.
Even Christian folks say that. Ain't nobody perfect but God. Or how about, this is what I like here. God's going to forgive me, so I might as well do it. Yeah, you got folks that do that. You got folks that think like that. One that gets spoke to, I didn't even know I was doing wrong. I didn't know that was wrong. The devil is a lie. No. You know who's a lie? We're lying. Because we're tricking and we're deceiving ourselves. That's why I came to tell you, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by yourself. Don't be deceived by the devil. You know, oftentimes, you know, it ain't the devil's fault. Put the blame where the blame belongs. It belongs right here. Point the finger at yourself.
Just a stinking finger.
Huh? They say that around the room, stinking thing. Let's move right along. Verse 15. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death.
That's right.
Now, in this verse, we see James is giving us some repercussions for falling into that temptation trap, for deceiving ourselves, for tricking ourselves. He's giving us those repercussions for all of that. When we give in to that desire. Because how many of y'all know that you haven't sinned when the temptation comes?
That's right.
Temptation will always be there. It's always going to be somebody trying to lure you to do this. Your mind may oftentimes drift back to some of the things that you used to do. It's always going to be there. The sin comes in at when you give in to it. Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's always going to be temptation there. And you have to realize that there's going to always be a price to pay. Here, James is telling us that that price is death. We're not talking about the death that's in a literal sense, although we know that you know, if you're born, you sure gonna die. Body gonna die. Body going somewhere. They're gonna put the body in the grave, and it's gonna decay and casket, and you're gonna die. We know that. But what James is talking about is death in a spiritual sense. He's talking about the soul of a man. That spirit. Because once we do die, at some point, we're going to meet with God.
Yes, sir.
And your soul is going to live forever. Question is,
where
are you going to live at? You either going to live in hell, or you either going to live in heaven. This spiritual death is of a greater significance than a physical death. And my brothers and my sisters, the word that I long to hear from my Father is, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but the word I don't want to hear is, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Make a mental note. Paul tells us in Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Write it down. You can check it out later. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Don't think you're getting away. Judge once told me that the ignorant sinner is no excuse for breaking the law. Yeah, I've been in trouble with the law in time, if you didn't know. The law, well, let me put it another way here. Even if I said I didn't know that I was committing a crime, when I committed it, I still had to do the time or had to pay for the crime. Ignorance is no excuse for not knowing the law. So in closing, my brothers, we're always gonna battle temptation. Sometimes we may lose the battle. But we must keep fighting and fighting and fighting. This isn't something that we can do on our own. Can't do it by ourselves. Just can't do it. We don't have it in us. We don't have enough strength to do that ourselves. We can only do this in Christ. He's the only one that can give us the strength to overcome this temptation. I urge you, my brothers, search your hearts. Ask God to search your heart.
Come on.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, you have no clue. Paul tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 10:9. So my brothers and my sisters, stop playing the blame game. Stop being deceived. I'm including myself in this. I'm not pointing the finger at none of y'all. I told y'all last week, I'm far from perfect. I'm going through my sanctification period right now. I'm struggling with things in my life. But one thing I know, I'm saved. I got God. And going through all this mess that I'm going through, God is right there with me. He's walking me right through it. You know, I own my own heating and air conditioning business. Started it a year ago. We haven't had much of a winter. Haven't had much work. A few 24 hours ago, I'd have found myself back on the block. A few 24 hours ago, I would have found myself doing whatever I had to do to get a dollar.
Come on.
But since God got a hold of me, I didn't resort back to the block. I didn't resort back to doing the things that I used to do to make a buck. And you know what? It ain't been a day went by.
Come on.
That God had to put food on my table. I'm feeding. My family feeding. It ain't been a day that then went by that God hasn't provided the rent. Whatever I've been going through, God has been right there. I'm probably going to continue to go through some stuff. But you know what? What I'm going through now is not where I was before. Not where I need to be or where I'm going. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You may be in the situation that you are in right now, maybe because of your own doing. It may be just by chance. Maybe just by situation or circumstance. But whatever it is, you're right where you're at. And God meets you right where you're at. So you're going through what you're going through for a reason. There's a reason behind it. Question is, what decisions are you going to make while you're in this situation? Maybe this is God sitting you down because you was running a little bit too fast. Maybe this is a time where God is saying, okay, now it's time for you to get closer to me. I urge you, my brothers and my sisters, go to God in prayer. Take it all to Him. Give it all to God. God will bring you through. God will bring you out. I'm out of time here. God bless y'all. And may heaven smile upon y'all. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Father, I ask that you let your word do what you sent it here to do. Father, I don't know where everybody's at, but you know all. And I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you penetrate our hearts, Lord. Speak to our minds and speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's some here that don't know you, I ask that you will whisper in their ear right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Cause them to come to you, because you can only call your chosen people. Father, that you do these things right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I cannot get along without you. These and all things I ask in your Son, Jesus, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. James 4:7.